people begin to become a little disheartened and you come to the Yom in the Rod. Because the first year, you're all sincere, okay, you say you really try it. But then after you've done it a year, 2 years, 3 years, and sometimes you look and you don't see so much improvement from last year, and all the kabbalas that you made, you don't really see that you kept them, or wove them, or totally, it gets a little disheartening. So I just mentioned this recently, there's a tremendous hisoiris. There's a sefer from the Rav Shlomo Kluger. He has a parish on Ovis. And in his Hakdama to the parish on Ovis, he goes on the Chazal of Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Le'olam Haba. So he asks the Kasha, how is it possible Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Le'olam Haba? What about the Rishoyim? Av sheyesh kama Rishoyim ba'ira. Right? And Chazal put down the rule. Okay, chutz from spirits and special apikarsa. But regular Russia, about Taiva, who does Averis, right? They're not, you know, the Korsim, okay, different. But about Taiva, there aren't plenty of about Taivas that do Averis. Ganovim, and et cetera, et cetera. How can you say, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chayev Gom Haba? So he says, because there's a Chazal, that Shor Achas B'tshuva has a tremendous value. So he says, for sure, achas the tshuva, you get olam haba. So he says, af rishe Yisrael hei b'tshuva shachas. There's not a Russia in the world, in the history of the world, from time of Chazal till now, who did not have a sure achas the tshuva. Why? Because when it says sure achas, it's lav davka. Sure just means a split second, or even less than a split second. Him kein afilu boshe Yisrael avekein. So every Bosh Yisrael has a split second of charata. And therefore, for that charata, it's enough tshuva to get them to Olam Haba. Now, it doesn't mean it's full tshuva, but what it means is pretty inspiring that you have a person who has hundreds and thousands of averis, he's living a life of averis. Yeshiva used to, those remember, Yeshiva used to talk about Yanko the Ganov, that every town in Europe had Yanko the Ganov, that everyone knew he's a town Ganov, that was his profession, etc., etc. He has a split second of charata, and for that he's guaranteed to get olam haba, because he gets enough kapara for his averis that he's worthy, that when you weigh the scale, you know, that scale that the kids always make, you know, so when you weigh the scale, the mitzvahs are going to outweigh the averis. So it's a pretty inspiring thing. In other words, the idea is that avada, the best thing is to have full tshuva, and sometimes we get down that we don't do full tshuva, but we have to realize that there's partial credit. Partial credit is knocks off 10%, 20%, 30%, however it works. And according to what the Rav Shlomo Kluger says, other people say it too, that partial credit is amazing. It makes you, it takes even a person who's a Rasha, Marusha, he still gets a Chayek and Om Haba. So there's definitely no reason to give up. And whatever we can do, we should do. The question is, practically speaking, is what do we do? So for most people, Charat HaOvar is easy. They know so many things they did wrong. Charat HaOvar, okay. But the Kabbalah HaOstad, it seems to be where they get stuck. So Reshiva the Tzal said a very, very big Kiddush. And those, I think many of you probably remember it. Shiva said that very often the Kabbalah HaOstad should not be to stop doing the Averis that you're doing. That sounds crazy. You're trying to do Tshuva on the Averis. So he said like this, of course, the Kabbalah HaOsid is that eventually I'm going to stop. But it doesn't mean I'm going to stop immediately. Because sometimes, you know, it's just not realistic. I bit the Torah. I'm not going to bow to anymore. Come on, who are you joking? You know, I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara anymore. You know, okay. Maybe I'm making Mikabo, I'll speak less. But I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara. I'm going to dive in every word of Shmon Ezri with Kavanah. I'm never going to say Shem Hashem, the wrong Kavanah. It's not necessarily so practical for us, at least. So a Kabbalah HaOsid might be that I want to eventually get to the point. That's a Kabbalah HaOsid. Kabbalah HaOsid doesn't have to be immediate. Kabbalah HaOsid means, what is it? Who said the Osid is tomorrow? The Osid could be in 20 years from now. So the Kabbalah HaOsid is that eventually I want to reach a Madrega that I don't do any Averis. But the immediate Kabbalah HaOsid, Rishiva said a Chiddush, is that very often the immediate kabbalah osef is not to stop so much the averis that you're doing, but to do more mitzvahs. As Rav Shiva said, he said the following part. He said that averis that we do, those averis that we do, there's a reason why we do them. We do them because it's hard for us. We have a taiva for them, whatever. Somehow, in something in our personality, it's difficult. So making a kavoah that you're going to stop is not necessarily realistic. Especially you're going to say, I'm going to stop on a dime. But there are certain things that are easy for us, things that we're good at. Those are the reason. There's a reason why we're good at them. We're good at them because we have a natural tendency. So things that you're good at, it's easy to be better because you're flowing with your natural flow of who you are. So a suggestion, I used to say that sometimes the best kabbalah osed is that I'm going to be better in the areas that I'm good at. Why is that a kabbalah osed? Because we have the famous Rabbeinu Yaina that in Pirkei Avos, Rav Yechem and Zakkai asked his Talmidim, Eizeh Derech Yishar Shifra Bava Adam. The five Talmidim, they each said something else. So the Rabbeinu Yaina on Pirkei Avos says, what was Rav Yechem and Zakkai's question? You have to do all the mitzvahs. So he says, because everything is interconnected. It's not separate, it matters. It's one package. And if you fix one area, you automatically fix another area. So Mameda, she was saying that if you could improve in certain mitzvahs, that through the back door will get you to stop doing your averis. So let's say I feel terrible. I have this problem that I speak too much Lashon Hara. And it's just, I'm a yenta. I talk without thinking. And I know I make up my mind, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. And once in a while I stop, but very often I slip up. So if I'm a kabbalah on myself, let's say to learn more, which is much more realistic because I love learning, so that will raise my level. So indirectly, it will cause me to stop Lashon Hara. So not only am I getting the advantage of learning more, which is in itself a big baita, and I'm getting the mitzvah of learning, so now I'm not still, I'm going up in the learning, but I'm actually making a kabbalah and stopping averis because I'm going through the back door. Very often in the Bavli Musar talk about that you have to find the back door. Now there are sometimes guys try to break in through the front door, you bang, it doesn't go, but there's a simple solution. Just go around the back of the house and climb through the window. The window's wide open. So you have to find the easy solution. So very often the easy solution, Shiva used to say, is by strengthening what you're good at. Now, obviously, every rule is exceptions, okay, but generally speaking, which means the mushroom that Shiva used to give, he gave a mushroom in baseball that Shiva gave a few mushrooms when it came to Chuba in baseball. I don't know why. She was into baseball, she was into stickball, but okay. But he gave two mishnah in baseball. He said if a person is a great hitter and he's a terrible fielder, and this guy's amazing talent, he's a great hitter, he wants to make it into the major leagues, what should he do? So he said, well, you can't get into the major leagues if you can't field, so you should work on your fielding. She said that's a mistake. You work on his fielding, so he'll be a great hitter and a mediocre fielder. You don't get into the major leagues for that. But if he worked on his hitting, where he has talent, and he becomes an amazing hitter, and it'll be written up in the newspapers, this guy's amazing. Every time he gets up to bat, he hits a home run, then the scouts are gonna be interested in him. And they'll take him into the major leagues. And once he gets into the major leagues, she said, I guarantee you they'll figure out a solution what to do with his fielding. But he needs his key, to get in. They're not, the key to get into the major leagues is because of your hitting. So you gotta work on your key. The other mashal that Shiva gave, it's also baseball, mashal, is there's this Rabbeinu, or Yisrael, a little bit different, but it's as long as we're on baseball, Mishalem. Rabbi Yisrael says that there's a concept of the Geder Oseh Tshuva, which means that in order to get that Hashem treats people differently if you're in the gedder of a tshuva. What Moshe Rashiwa used to give is that the top guy, the bottom person in the major league, is not that much better than the best person in the minor leagues. It could be just by a fraction of a drop. You're the best guy in the minor leagues versus the top guy in the major leagues, is very little difference. But the guy in the major leagues, it's a different league. He's in the major leagues. He gets a different degree of coven. He gets a different salary. He gets, when they win the World Series, even though he never even played, he gets a bonus. He's in the major leagues. The other guy's only in the minor leagues. So sometimes there's this thin line of demarcation. You cross over and it moves you from the minor leagues to the major leagues. And by the rest of the Yamin Araim, that thin line is the Geder Ose Tshuva. You're doing something. You're doing something. Rabbi Yisrael says that something could be that you make up your mind to learn Musar, even though, again, you know, you don't have Harat HaOvar, you don't have Kabbalah Osed, but you made a Kabbalah to learn Musar. So that's the first step. When you learn Musar, then Memeda eventually. So if that's Rabbi Yisrael. It's a very important Yisrael to take Rabbi Yisrael, but you take the first step, which eventually will bring you, hopefully, to great things. So you're in the gather of the Oseh Tshuva. You cross into a new dimension. There's two groups in the world. There are people that just, they're happy the way they are and they have no intentions of changing. And there are people that want to change. They're starting to change. Doesn't make a difference how small. A slight change, you're in the gather of Oseh Tshuva. You go from the minor league to a major league. You're in a different category. And people who are Oseh Tshuva are judged differently. Okay, anyway. So we're saying as follows. We're saying that what Rashi said is that, practically speaking, it's a very good suggestion. A person should try and find what he's good at. And then do you work on that to make it better? Now, how does one do that? Not so simple. But one of the eitzes that are given is the Daf Yomi eitzah. Daf Yomi eitzah, why does Daf Yomi work so well? If Yomi works so well, I mean, sure, there are many reasons. But one of the big reasons is because there's a commitment. Once you start doing it for a while, you don't want to stop because I already invested so much energy. So you sort of create a system where you can't back out because, you know, in this situation, if I back out, I'll lose my investment. And that is one of the eights in Kabbalah Osed, is you got to make a commitment to try and figure out a way where there's some form of, it becomes that I'm committed. In other words, if you decide you want to learn. So you make a chavrusa. If you have a chavrusa, then you can't drop out because your chavrusa is expecting. I used to say in Israel, if you got a guy asked Rabbi Kinnarik to learn with him at Motzoi Shabbos, Rabbi Kinnarik was a masvid, you could ask him to learn any time of the day, 2 o'clock in the morning. But if you ask him to learn with him and he says yes, you're going to have to come at 2 o'clock in the morning and learn with him because Rabbi Kinnarik agreed to learn with me. He's waiting for me. You're going to come. So you create a system where the truth is I might lose my enthusiasm to learn at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I created a system where I'm committed. So if you could create a system where a person is committed, something that makes you have to stick to what you're doing, that is, of course, the best. So it's not just to find something that you're good in, you have a natural talent, so it's likely that you'll be able to keep it, to go ahead and figure out a way that you'll be committed. That's also obviously very good. There's just one last thing, is there's an Avardic Mashal, which is a very beautiful Mashal, which I like very much. I tell the story that there was a guy in Israel. He came to Israel when I was a Rebbe there, and he came with a whole suitcase of not such kosher novels. I think it was music. And he was there very into music. There was not such kosher. And he made a kabbalah that on Yom Rosh Hashanah, he's going to go ahead and stop listening. He's going to take all his and the novels and the music and lock it up in his suitcase. So I asked him, you know, if you're making such a serious kabbalah, why don't you just throw it in the garbage? He said, throw it in the garbage? You're crazy. I know that in a week or two after a shot, I'm gonna break my kabbalah and go back and spend all that money and buy it again. You know, I'll keep it in your suitcase. So that's not a real kabbalah, was it? But the Navarik Eitz is when you go ahead and you throw it out, then again you make it harder. Then you're on a certain sense not stuck, but you made a commitment that it's hard to break. So the mushroom they give is that if a train is going over, a heavy train has to go over a bridge, and it can't get, it's a lightweight bridge, it can't get across, can't hold the train, so you zoom across. You zoom across even though the bridge collapses, but you make it to the other side. So if you have an Isayan, person has a something of this, he feels it's not kosher, whether it's a, you know, something in today's world, we talk a lot to the high school guys about their smartphones, whatever, or so you have something that you feel you shouldn't be having, so you get yourself motivated, zoomed up, and then you throw it out. Once you throw it out, then you're much less likely to go ahead and buy it again. Okay, so anyway, so just to summarize the suggestion, we never should give up. There's no yish. Any dakas of charata or kabbalah osed has tremendous value. This practical suggestion so that it shall last is to try and find something that we're good in, so that's working within our koiches, and to try and find something that we can have teeth to it. So you can think about trying thinking of an eitzah where there's a commitment. Try and write it down as a shtickle commitment. Tell someone, you know, they say it's right, Rabbi Yonah Pihan. He decided he's going to quit smoking. So he told all his talmidim he's quitting to smoke. Because then he'll be embarrassed to smoke because he already told everyone he's quitting. So you have to figure out an eitzah, how to make some teeth in it. And by doing that, we'll be able to keep our commitment.